It's Thursday, August 22nd, 2013. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. You're listening to Episode 27, Hell is Other People, turned into machine gun wielding demon marines. Runtime for this episode is about 44 minutes.
Hi, welcome to Last Time on Video Games. My name is Zach.
I'm Tyler.
I'm last. Also Jeremy.
Yeah, we decided to stage a mutiny and stole it from Jeremy for this.
And yet you still let me on board, soft-hearted landlubbers.
Well, we threw you in the brig of controlling Audacity, so...
Oh, can I be Pirate Batman?
No.
Please?
No.
He fought Blackbeard and won.
No.
It was sweet.
What have you been playing over there?
League of Legends, my mouse just decided, hey, you know what I should do? Work! And so League of Legends, oh my god, I get to play Sona and Karthus and Twisted Fate and Ash and Caitlyn and oh my god, it's so good, you guys. Play League of Legends.
Tell us how you really feel.
It's good, man.
What about you, Tyler?
That was not all, that was just an important bit.
Fine, Jeremy can keep going.
Wait, mine's really short, so we'll do it now and then switch back to him. More Animal Crossing. Lots of FTL. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay, back to you, Jeremy.
I also got bored because I don't have a job and played a game of Civ 4.
Awesome. Oh man, I really wish I could play Civ
4
right now.
So you haven't finished it yet?
No, I...
It goes a lot faster against computers.
Well, the problem is in Beyond the Sword, after a certain difficulty, they'll all just ally against you all the time and be vassals of one dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I can't really declare war on anyone because they're all vassals, so they'll all declare war on me at the same time.
That's
Except for Catherine, who declared war on me and took two of my cities, and I got one back. But before I could get the other back, the conglomerate declared war on her and took it.
Lame.
Yeah.
So I actually almost always play as Catherine if I choose, but I've been finding I can play it fairly well on the difficulty right above whatever the fourth one. Noble, I think, is the standard.
Yeah, Noble is sort of medium.
What's right above that? Warlord?
Prince, I think. Warlord is below that.
Okay, I don't know. I usually play on whatever's right above the standard difficulty.
I'm awful at that game.
I have never won a game through Conquest. I always win by culture, or winning a space race.
I've won by Conquest once. Twice, actually.
I have conquered another civilization twice, in probably 36 games of Civ 4.
Pansy Peacemonger?
But I'm really good at pansy peacemongering, so...
I almost always take over one civ near the start just to get terrain.
I just ally with them, and by the time they realize that I'm just using them for their resources, it's too late.
Speaking of that, I've also been playing Kingdom of Loathing. I didn't talk about it last week because I borrowed 375 scattered scraps of paper from my guild, so I've been farming to pay them back. And then I kind of need 500 more for me after that. So I've just been spending all my adventures farming in the library for tattered scraps of paper.
What do you need all those tattered scraps of paper for?
To eat optimal hot dogs. They charge you 25 per optimal dog. And they're really strong.
Well, they are optimal dogs.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, I've been farming. Oh, the thing is, farming in KOL requires like 10 minutes of my time a day.
Yeah, you can't get very... You can blow through all your adventures really quickly if
you
know what you're
doing. I have like... 250 per day, but it's just burning book bats.
Book bats.
So I put on a podcast, and before I can really even get into it, I'm done.
So my question is an optimal dog a Chicago dog or a New York dog?
Neither, because those are different choices.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the optimal dog, you stab it like... Jick, the creator, refers to people who do things that aren't fun but are optimal as dick stabbers. So you stab the wiener in the middle, like, smush it all up with the knife, and then eat it. Because while it's not as tasty, it's optimal, damn it.
I rather like that philosophy. Good
Anything
job,
else?
Jick.
More on Kingdom of Loathing, because I want to guilt you guys. They just opened a new clan dungeon called Dreadsylvania, which is clearly... influenced by Castlevania, the end boss is Count Druncula.
As only Kingdom of Loathing can do.
Yep.
How is that supposed to guilt us?
Because I want you to play so we can go on sweet adventures in Dreadsylvania, and also Hobopolis.
No.
We can fight the Hobo Overlord.
I've actually never been to Hobopolis because I've never been part of a guild, so...
We should do it, come on!
I'm strongly considering it, especially since playing Kingdom of Loathing takes very little time.
it can take a lot of time playing optimally if you're not just farming. When I'm really doing well, I can spend 2 hours a night. But also, I have a ton of skills. I've ascended, I think, 56 times. My brother asked and I counted.
Holy crap. Oh, that's something we didn't mention with Save the Date last week, was when you get to a certain point, you can get one of the options that you can give her is how many times she's died and in how many different ways, and that's just automatically tabulated for you.
Yeah, there's one that says how many times, and she's like, holy crap, that's morbid. Have you been counting every one?
And one of the options
is just, no, but the game gave me that number, and I trust it.
Well done.
Is that, well, are you done?
I think so. I feel like there's something I'm missing. I played Fortune Street with my brother some. Probably something else, but that's what's important.
Still a fun game. I don't think we have stressed this enough. The rest of the internet doesn't agree with this. Fortune Street's fun, but only with a buddy. Like a lot of other activities.
Everyone I've met in person and talked about really likes it. I haven't really looked on the internet.
Actually, yeah, a lot of the reviews I've seen on it have been very positive.
Oh, well, I've seen only mediocre reviews for it, so. Zach, what have you been playing?
I've been playing, I bought the Shin Megami Tensei 4. I haven't gotten into it so much. Because unlike Jeremy, I have a job right now.
Right now, being the keyword.
Well, I'll admit, I'm a temp. It's a start. It's employment. I've also been playing a lot of Samurai Warriors 2 Empires. Because, hey, you need some downtime to just kill things.
I cannot wait for Dynasty Warriors Gundam Empires.
Neither can I!
So we can get Hiro Yui and Kira Yamato on the same team. Maybe with some Amuro in there and some Char and Full Frontal leading the charge.
Yeah, that would be that'd be awesome. You hear that, Koei? Get on that. I've also been playing a lot more baseball just because it's easy to unwind after working.
Not actual baseball, I'm assuming.
No, digital baseball. I'm loving 2K12 again. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Fantasy football season hasn't started up in earnest yet, so I can't really list that.
So the fact that I haven't been playing very many video games should really be indicative to you, based on how often I switch between games, that you should play FTL if you have not.
And Kingdom of Loathing and League of Legends are great.
No.
Yeah, League of Legends is great. Kingdom of Loathing is great if you're of a certain mindset, but...
What do you guys think? What is your favorite sequel? Since we're still in sequel mod.
Can League of Legends count? It's a sequel to Dota, which is a Warcraft 3 mod.
It's more like a spiritual sequel than an actual sequel.
It was made by the same people.
Yeah, it's not actually a sequel, though. It's just very, very similar.
Okay, then, StarCraft 2?
Okay, that can count.
That's an acceptable answer. What about you, Tyler?
My favorite sequel?
Yes.
Ever? Okay. There are a lot of sequels that
Mega
I like.
Mega Man X.
No, X is not my favorite.
Symphony of the Night.
I didn't like it as much as you do, actually.
I feel like I need more good sequels to throw at you. Battlefront 2!
No,
it's not a good sequel, though.
No, it's a good sequel, and arguably a good game, not a great game.
Final Fantasy X!
No.
Final Fantasy X 2!
I should prefer 6 to 10, but...
Okay, fair enough. That's a fair choice.
No, I think if I really had to choose, this is really hard, Metroid Prime.
Really?
Is a freaking amazing game, and is everything great about Metroid in 3D?
Not Majora's Mask.
But in a 3D environment. No, Majora's Mask is pretty far up there, but it's not my favorite sequel.
I guess Majora's Mask just feels more to like a sequel than... Majora's Mask feels more like a sequel to me than Metroid Prime does, because Metroid Prime is a new developer, a new game style, two console generations after the last Metroid game. Whereas Majora's Mask is a direct sequel, both storyline and gameplay-wise.
And art assets, and in fact, they basically reuse everything in Majora's Mask, except for maybe a handful of sprites.
There's a lot of new stuff. All the bosses are new, the giants are new, and they use the expansion pack, so everything looks a lot better. They do reuse a lot of NPCs, though.
Yeah, it feels entirely different, but it is a closer sequel. Now, the reason I consider Metroid Prime a good sequel is because it takes all the elements that make what I consider a Metroid game, the isolation, the exploration, the variety of weapons to do different things, and ramps up the action a little bit and puts you in a 3D environment. And for a 3D platformer, it's not really super platforming focused, but for a 3D platformer, the platforming is really good because basically your feet are 5 million times wider than your body. So you just can't see them.
Samus wears
the boots are made for jumping.
Snowshoes?
Thank you. Snowshoes.
Or moonshoes. Although it actually feels more like she wears moonshoes because of the way she jumps. But so yeah, I think of all sequels, Metroid Prime might be my favorite.
What about you, Zach? What's your favorite sequel?
Mine's rough. I'm not entirely certain. It's probably Halo 3, but, you know, Ogre Battle 64 and StarCraft 2 are extremely high up on that list.
I'm going to veto Ogre Battle 64 because you never played the first one.
I played the first one.
Yeah, you did.
That okay, was... you didn't play the first one until 20 years later for a podcast.
Wasn't 20 years.
15.
Okay, yeah, 15 sounds about right.
Oh, and if I may make an honorable mention, all the Donkey Kong countries.
Yeah.
Well, the other two up past the first one.
Yeah, I know. I guess the modern Donkey Kong countries have not impressed me as much as everyone else.
The modern
ones? Donkey Kong Country Returns and the 3DS one.
I haven't played either. I meant Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3.
Okay.
I haven't played any of the newer ones, so I can't speak on that.
The fact that you don't play as Donkey Kong always bugged me about 3, but I've only played it a very little bit.
You don't play as Donkey Kong in 2?
Yeah, that too. I've only played Donkey Kong Country 1. Because that's the only one I bought before they were delisted.
Did you beat that game?
Did I? No, I haven't. I got pretty far into it, but
why didn't you beat it?
Other things?
Not because it was hard or anything like that?
Oh, no.
No,
Donkey Kong Country it's easily within Jeremy's ability to complete without much of a sweat, and it's probably within your ability.
You just have to jump on dudes, really, and get in some barrels that shoot you into bananas.
No, that's a little bit too far above my skill level.
Donkey Kong Country is there are some levels where you're barrel blasting past bees, but Donkey Kong Country, I feel, is mostly an ambient game. It's got really awesome music, and the visual style is unique.
Yeah, it's a game really similar to the modern Marios in that playing through is not too hard, but getting all the coins and bananas and bonus stuff is sort of difficult.
Honorable mention, Super Mario World.
That's a pretty good one.
I want to go back for a moment here. You mentioned that Donkey Kong is a very ambient, thematic game.
It's generally not very difficult. There are definitely some challenging parts.
Well, I mean, how does that relate to a lot of the other games we've played so far? Today, obviously, we're talking about, if you guys listened to the last episode, we're talking about Doom 2. And if you were cast your minds on the winds back to when we were talking about Doom, we all mentioned how much we thought the ambient music, the thematic, all that stuff was
Doom 2 had
very high up there.
But Doom had excellent theming, what with the progressively more hellish environments and more cyborg-esque monsters.
It feels like a descent into hell, and hey, that's what little story there is.
And your music gets much more metal. It's, despite being such an action-oriented game, there's actually a lot in the background that you don't notice unless you're really paying attention to it, but that you subconsciously pick up. It's pretty awesome. Donkey Kong Country never has a consistent theme so much as it's cool to play.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe.
It feels like you're in a jungle because the color palette is dark, and the way they get around that is the characters are animated in such a way that they really pop out. I mean, you can tell they're not part of the background, but that's part of the style.
It's really hard to describe. I haven't seen much like it before.
Or since, because...
We got on the segue, and then you hopped on back off.
Well, the thing is...
Well done.
That was a pretty clunky segue. We weren't really talking about that
subject. First time I've ever done that.
The characters in Donkey Kong are 3D, but the environments are not, and they don't move in a 3D plane. And so it's a real unique style. It looks good.
Like I said, though, it's not usually a very hard game. There are some challenging bits, but...
It also doesn't feel like you're slowly descending into hell.
Now that I'm thinking about it, actually, most mechanics-based games, and I can't think of how you would do this otherwise, don't have a difficulty selection of any sort. Whereas most other games do, but I
think that's... Meat Boy?
No.
I thought it did for some reason.
Meat Boy has super hard worlds and regular worlds.
What do you guys think of that? If you... Like, certain games not having a difficulty slider... In general, what do you think of having the ability to alter the difficulty for any given game?
I think it really depends on the type of game. Like I said, I don't know how you would alter the difficulty level of a platformer. That doesn't even... Like, would you make it so that you can't alter your jumps as well? I don't even know how you do that.
Well, you'd probably reduce the amount of damage the player could take, or conversely, increase the number of enemies, decrease the number of platforms, and just extend the jumps so that they're much more precision.
Well, yeah, but usually games like that are built in such a way that if you change how the jumps work, you can't play the game.
I didn't say anything about changing how the jumps work.
You said jump precision.
No, I said change the platform sizes to increase the jump's precision, so you have to land on a smaller area.
Oh, okay.
That's really hard to design, though.
I could see that being done, but that would change the feel of the levels a lot. Actually, although I think difficulty of the game changes the feel of the game a lot... In general, anyway.
Well, I mean, I think I've said it on record. I play Halo on Legendary for fun. I play on Heroic to actually just play the game, because that's the difficulty I'm most comfortable with.
But if the designer intends a game to be hard, shouldn't it be? I'm kind of reminded, since we talked about Kingdom of Loathing earlier, the creator of that game, like Psychonauts, and that's a game we should play, because none of us have, right? That fits within the purview of this assignment. But he talked to Tim Schafer and said, man, this game is, I love it, but it's really hard. You know, can you put it in an easy mode, or what should I do? And he's like, well, do you have any kids who are good at video games that could play it and then you could watch? He was really unapologetic about the difficulty. And I think that's okay if you have a certain experience you want to design for the player and you want to get them to get through it, I think that's okay. On the other hand, if you're creating a narrative and that's what the draw to your story is, I think being able to skip or mitigate the difficulty in a game is a good thing.
Especially for narrative-heavy games, the default setting should not be very difficult, with much harder difficulties so that you can play it through later after you've already experienced the narrative. But
I agree with Tyler.
I really think it depends on the market you're trying to appeal to. I think the appeal of having easier difficulty modes, which, by the way, you should never call the easiest difficulty mode easy. You should just call it normal, because it's demeaning otherwise.
I don't care.
Well, neither do I, but a lot of non-gamers feel that games are insulting them by doing that.
That's true. Thinking about Doom, the difficulty names are very thematic, but I can see someone saying, oh no, I'm not going to play on, don't hurt me, bro! Don't demon me, bro! I'm going to play on, well, Vibba?
Play Halo 3 on normal. That is pathetically easy.
For it you!
Is. No, it is.
Well, I play games on Heroic too, but I know people who can't beat them or have trouble, and the first time my brother played Halo, he had a lot of trouble with them.
Well, you play it on easy, there's like one elite on a level.
No, I think the problem with that, though, is that, well, not the problem, the reason you would have difficulty levels that easy is to appeal to a wider market, people of all skill levels. If you're trying to get more people into gaming, which I think we should do, I don't think there's any reason that gaming should be an exclusive hobby. I think that you need those easier difficulty levels to introduce neophytes. Like Alex, who is gesturing to herself. I don't think that there's any reason that you should only have a ridiculously hard difficulty unless, like Jeremy said, you're specifically crafting an experience in which the difficulty is hellish. Like Meat Boy. The difficulty is hellish for a reason. That's the game.
I would pose a question to you guys. What do you think of the way Devil May Cry, and also, as I experienced, the Shinten 4 does it, where to access the lesser difficulty modes, a player has to be killed a couple of times within a period of time to unlock that difficulty mode. I think being able to start the game on that lesser difficulty mode from the beginning is less pandering to the player and less, you know, being condescending and a jackass and just calling it easy mode.
I agree, but it's also really funny.
I was going to say, with Devil May Cry, it really fits the theme of that game. With Dante such a snarky guy, giving the game itself a snarky feel, I think, is a good thing. I'm sure Tyler will link the Penny Arcade about it, where it's like, yeah, hold out, maybe I'll unlock extra special mode if you keep dying.
I've never played Shinten 4, so I'm not really sure if that fits the feel of the game. Does it? You played it. Does that fit the...
I've played a half an hour. I turned it down because I didn't want to deal with dying that often, to be entirely honest with you, especially if I was going to be running limited time.
You're just like, no. It's cool, bro. I'm just new at this.
Well, I actually did turn down the difficulty.
Oh, I thought you meant you turned down the offer.
No, I turned down the difficulty, and it actually unlocks the option to be available in your menu.
On the other hand, I think if you keep dying, it's a good thing for the game to say, hey, you can lower the difficulty if this is a problem.
So, well, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Brothers in Arms, which is a game on the Xbox, if you died a certain number of times, it would pop up with a little menu box that said, like, hey, I think it said, hey, war isn't fair, but a game should be. If you want to heal your whole squad and yourself and come back from that last checkpoint, or no, I'll keep trying right the way it is right now.
That's actually pretty, I don't think I've ever seen a game that gives that option. That's actually pretty neat. Something occurred to me while you were saying that, though. What do you think about a game that automatically scales the difficulty to the player's abilities, basically?
So that's really hard, but I like Left 4 Dead 2.
Well, how do you figure that out?
Well, okay, so say you keep dying a lot. Well, what if you reduce the damage and amount of enemies without telling the player, and then they just make it gradually, but you keep scaling it to the player's ability to overcome the challenges?
Like the AI director in Left 4 Dead, that was its thing. It would give you more healing items if you were really getting beat up, or summon fewer hordes or fewer special zombies. Whereas if you're doing really well, maybe one of the ammo dumps isn't there.
Actually, I think that if you're not going to allow people to choose the difficulty off the bat, that's the way you want to do it, is because that way if the player, that way the player doesn't know you're being condescending. They just think, they look at it and they're like, well, obviously I've done this part so much. The only problem with that is that they're not necessarily improving, but they're probably improving as they're losing. It's just, it's gradual and they are still losing.
Well, the idea would be that you scale it to just exactly the point where they can overcome it, and if they start overcoming that with no difficulty, then you can turn it up.
The difficulty goes back up again?
See, and I didn't know that the AI director actually scaled the difficulty. I thought it just randomly generated stuff.
No, it depends on what you mean by scale the difficulty. There are difficulty levels in Left 4 Dead, and those don't change. Well, but those are just rules about basically how much damage you take from various things.
Well, yeah, another form of difficulty, though, is how often you can heal. How much damage you do, how often you encounter hard enemies. That's all part of difficulty, and I didn't know that it actually took...
Yeah, that's that was its whole thing.
I was actually under the impression that it just changed the level, or I guess what you encountered every time you played the level.
Well, yeah, it does randomize level encounter for, healing items and whatnot, but it also is based on how well you're doing.
So I didn't know it had that last factor, which is actually pretty cool. So basically the idea that I had was basically already done. Thank you, Valve.
I don't think that would work in every game. In some games, you want to give the players a specific experience or a specific fight. And Left 4 Dead, it does that a little bit because you have the ending parts where you're getting up, get to the choppa,
which
or get
are
to
always
the boat
amazing.
Or whatever.
I still remember one of the ones we were playing and you punched a guy through the helicopter.
That was
the tank.
That was pretty sweet. Unfortunately, it made me lose because he was the only one who wasn't in the helicopter, so the others escaped. But
no, there was only one guy that got away because we had the other ones pinned.
But we had to get them all to win, I believe.
Yeah. They had a mistake in the first game because on one of the levels that you could do the multiplayer on, the versus, you could hide under the ramp, and the special zombies couldn't touch you.
Like you said, that would be really hard to do for some games, or impossible, or you shouldn't. You haven't played Braid. You guys should play Braid.
I'm not going to play Braid.
Why not? It's an excellent game, and it has time travel, kind of. Anyway, but you can't really scale the difficulty of that game, because it's a puzzle game, and a platformer, but it's a puzzle game. It's all about trying to think about what's happening, and also, to some extent, take in the ambiance. As I've actually mentioned, two ambient platformers, but,
Yeah, it's really tricky to scale difficulty in puzzle games, because I guess you can give them more hints, but a lot of times that just feels like it ruins the puzzle.
I think Layton does a pretty decent job of that, because you have to earn the hint coins, not like they're terribly hard to earn. But it also gives you full control over how much of a hint you get.
That's an inherent problem with puzzle games. You can make a puzzle that stumps, say, me, it's not hard, so I can't get through it, but then put Tyler up against it, which is usually what I probably end up doing, and he'll figure it out in 5 seconds. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to look at the white flag, that's what it said. It's like, oh, shut up.
I've seen it, Kingdom of Loathing, I don't mean to keep mentioning it, but one of the optional quests has this sort of difficult puzzle. I think it gives you 6 tries, and then it says, hey, you can just skip this, and we're going to take one of the rewards away. And it's not a big reward, but at the same time, you can just skip that if you just want the rest of the content.
Well, I remember in Knights of the Republic, there were a few puzzles in it that I usually didn't manage to solve them all, but you could get around it by having enough other supplies. It just took those supplies, like I think it was parts. If you didn't have enough parts or spikes, if you didn't have enough if you couldn't solve the puzzle, you could use those.
I think it varied, actually.
It depended. There's a couple of puzzles in there.
That's actually an interesting thing. Should you be able to farm for resources to overcome what is supposed to be a mental challenge? You can do this in reality, so why can't you do this in a video game? You can in some.
Well,
should that be a valid option? If you're there for a mental challenge, should you be able to just pay your way through?
I think it depends
on the
game.
That's what I do
with you. And Tomb Raider, maybe.
My computer doesn't work. Call Tyler.
And Professor Layton, probably not.
But you can in Layton, kind of. You can collect hint coins and basically just give yourself all the hints. It defeats the purpose of the game, but you can. Maybe it's just me, I like a good challenge, so I try not to use them, but...
It's an interesting question. I think in a game like Coder, where the puzzles are just added almost because video games have puzzles, right? Yeah,
they probably should. They unlocked certain things. Like, they weren't necessary to...
Yeah, like, I remember there was a Towers of Hanoi puzzle in the first Mass Effect to activate an elevator.
I recall that too. That was stupid.
On the ice planet?
Or do you not know what Tower of Hanoi is? Which are you confused about?
What's the Tower of Hanoi?
BioWare's favorite puzzle.
It's, you have a bunch of different stacks, or a range of different sizes.
But you can't put
It can't be an inverted pyramid.
So you can't use the bottom one first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, but I think BioWare has that in every game.
Not Dragon Age, because it doesn't make any sense there. Not that it made sense in Mass Effect or Coder, but...
Well, Coder was the first one they did it in, so that can be forgiven.
Did they not do it in Neverwinter?
I don't remember if they did it in Neverwinter.
They did it in Neverwinter.
Did they win? I don't remember it.
I can't remember it offhand, but I'm sure it's in there.
I remember it in 2, but then again, that was a while ago.
Oh no, that's something interesting to ponder, and certainly deserves more time than we're probably going to give it on this episode, but difficulty in puzzle games. Puzzle difficulty in general. Oh, God, and then there's Resident Evil, and their idea of a puzzle is put the square one into the square peg!
But what if you want to make a combat that's supposed to be a puzzle? What if you have this hard combat where the solution is supposed to be use the lightning power on this guy because it stuns him, and then you can freeze this guy, and then you've got to juggle this guy while shooting this guy?
To some extent... Final Fantasy X actually does that.
A little bit.
You can brute force your way through it, but there's an optimal solution to the problem.
Cthulhu Saves the World and the Penny Arcade games that guy did. All of the fights work like that.
Brute force it.
Well, yeah, you can brute force it. That's an option, and it should be. But if the developer wants this puzzle, should they sacrifice it when you lower the difficulty?
I don't know. I think it depends on how important that puzzle is to the overall feel of the game you're going for. It's not an easy question, and it really is very case-dependent. Eventually, we're going to be able to quantize this, but it's probably not going to be us, and it's probably not going to be in our lifetimes. So...
The hell it's not.
Well, start working on that, and I'll start writing the neural software programs. I was going to say, have you ever played Puzzle Quest?
No. Yeah.
Alex loves this game. It's basically a match 3 game, although I think it's actually 4.
It's been a while, where you get a class, and you're an RP... And you get to recruit followers, and
yep.
It's really cool. The advancement mechanics are really compelling.
I wish there was more story in that game, but it's a pretty fun game, considering it's basically a bunch of random encounters with match 3/4. And you get, like, special abilities by collecting different colors. Oh, it's a fun game.
When you match 3, whatever color it is, you get that mana, basically. And you have different abilities require different colors of mana.
And there are 4 different colors, and basically, and also skulls that do direct damage to your opponent. So basically, you're in a real-time fight on a puzzle grid with your opponent, and you're trying to collect as much mana as possible to do damage to them using your skills, or setting yourself up for ridiculous skull combos or something. It's an interesting mechanic. Actually, I think Extra Credits had an episode, or at least a segment of an episode devoted to it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like that game. It's on the 360.
And the 3DS. Or DS, I guess. But there's also Puzzle Quest Heroes or Puzzle Quest 2 or something. I don't know. There's at least one sequel. Which I hear is even better, so...
And Puzzle Fighter.
That said, the theming in that game? Terrible. It's generic fantasy.
Well, but they're putting it on a Bejeweled. I think when you consider that, the theming is pretty strong.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's what I said.
You're playing Bejeweled, but you feel like a sweet wizard who's charging up his fireball to smite a rat who is also playing Bejeweled. So that then you can get a rat mount, which will help you play Bejeweled against.
I forgot that you could get mounts in that. But that's actually, I think, even when we're mentioning our favorite sequels, pretty much all the sequels I really like have really strong theming that is similar to the first game, but improve the mechanics. That's Doom had amazing theming.
Like Jeremy said, it's like Descent into Hell, but this one...
You already went through Hell. Where'd he go from there?
Earth, yeah. Apparently.
Well, Earth...
And you got fire, so now you need wind, water, and heart to summon Captain Planet to defeat the demons. Well... I think I just fixed this game.
Problem is, in this one, a lot of the demons are replaced with generic guy with gun.
Well, they're zombies, at least, or something.
No, they're just possessed.
Is that what they are?
Yeah. And the first one had some guys with guns, but not many. And the problem with guys with guns is they shoot bullets at you, and you're not Neo. So you can't dodge them, whereas the demons will shoot things like fireballs that you can see coming and strafe around. It makes for a much more compelling game experience, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, tapered off. Like, later in the game, you stop seeing large bulks of guy with gun. You'd see a couple every now and then, but for the most part, they were gone by the third episode.
Well, I think they got replaced largely by the bull rushy demons, like the guys who had spikes all over them that just ran into you.
The imps that threw the fireballs and stuff at you.
Those were in the first level, even, but mm-hmm. I feel like that makes the combat a lot more engaging because there's something that you can do to avoid taking damage. Whereas the guys who with guns don't really hurt you that much. Well, I guess the shotgun guys kind of do, but they're kind of annoying because you're constantly being pegged.
Well, it just loses something, because now instead of trying to avoid the shots, you know, strafing, trying to keep your aim or on target, now you're basically just soaking damage and hoping to slog through it and catch them enough of them off guard to heal before you die.
It's sort of my problem with Call of Duty over Halo, honestly. Especially in the Halo campaign, you have sort of 5 types of enemies, and you know what they're going to do. And yeah, they have guns that shoot you, but elites have swords, so you have to react to them. What are the enemies that you shoot in the back?
Hunters.
The hunters you have to get behind and take out before they can kill you.
The little shield guys with sniper rifles?
Jackals. And if they've got a sniper rifle, they don't have a shield.
Okay, I've been into the carbine. Whatever.
And Same thing.
The grunts are going to explode if they get up to you, so you have to shoot them in the dome. The enemy variety is there, and it's a little different because they have guns that shoot you, but there's something to do to avoid their massive damage.
Rather than hiding behind a wall and hoping to pop up before the enemy does.
And waiting for your Elmo mask to fall off so you can see again and you can shoot them.
Actually, this is only tangentially related, but I find the more games we've been playing for this, my biggest gripe with mediocre games or games I don't enjoy is there's not enough variety in the game. I really like different enemy types, but that's not really related at all to Doom, other than there isn't a lot of variety of enemies.
Well, in this one, they kind of... I gotta admit, I didn't finish the game.
I barely played the game, to be honest.
I didn't encounter any of the floating guys.
Oh, really? The big floating eyeball things? I like
them. The beholder-ish guys?
Yeah, I didn't find them. I did find some of those guys, the little tiny head, the head guys that come up.
Oh, the skulls?
Yes, the floating skulls.
There are a couple of new enemies in this game, but I never encountered them, so...
Did you not encounter the minigun guy?
No, I didn't get very far at all, because...
Well, there's a minigun guy, he's not that much different than guy with gun.
I think the game can be summed up, and it's not very different. The levels look the same, there are a few new guns, there's the double-barreled super shotgun,
which doesn't
feel that different.
I do think that super shotgun is the first time you ever see somebody actually reload. Don't quote me on that, I don't know for sure, but I think it is the first time
you see
one.
You mean in ever? No, Wolfenstein did it. But in Doom?
Sure.
Yes. Wolfenstein 3D definitely had reloading. Well, reloading animation for some of the weapons. So, now you know.
G.I. Joe!
I'm gonna look this up and probably be wrong, but I'm pretty sure
Either way, I think it was the same guys.
Yeah, no, it's the same company, id. But, my biggest problem with this game is that it's not a great sequel. If you liked Doom and finished Doom and wanted more of it...
It feels more like an expansion pack than a sequel.
If you really wanted more Doom when you finished playing it, then you should play Doom 2. It is Doom, slightly enhanced, but basically the exact same game.
The big thing it brought to the table was multiplayer out of the box. You could mod Doom to play multiplayer, but Doom 2 supported it over LAN on its own.
Which is pretty awesome, and I think we can all attest that first-person shooters are generally more fun when you're playing with them with a friend.
Yeah, definitely. I've played them against people I don't know. I've played probably more of that than you guys have. Maybe not you with Team Fortress, but I have played a lot of them against people I don't know. It's just not as much fun to play with people you don't know.
Well, even against people you don't know is a lot more fun than just against computers.
Something that amuses me about Doom multiplayer, they didn't make multiplayer maps, so you're just shooting each other through, like, level 1 of Doom, or whichever level you like. Only they added weapons to them. So I think there's a BFG on every multiplayer level.
Awesome. It's a good game. It is. I had my fill of Doom. I actually had my fill of Doom right before I finished the first one, but I was so close to the end, I just wanted to finish it.
So you did finish it? You did beat the big spider demon?
Yeah, no, I ended up beating the... I don't think I did by the time I recorded the episode, but I did end up beating the game. But by the time I got around to playing this game, I basically was done with Doom. I don't think I ever want to play any more Doom, but it was fun.
Well, I started it up, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to beat this one. And I started playing it, and I'm like, there's just not that much here.
And we talked about theming, and this isn't super thematic for Doom, because it's okay. But the first level music in the first Doom immediately hooked you. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That's an iPod track.
The first level music in this game is kind of
forgettable.
The first couple levels are kind of forgettable. I remember that they existed, but they're all dark, kind of sewery, and just kind of They felt like a lot of the middle levels from the first one, but it wasn't enough for the beginning of a game. Like you said, it felt like an expansion. If I went from playing Doom directly to this game, I think I would have been a lot more okay with it, but it was hard getting back into it because it wasn't as immediately engaging.
Yeah.
I think we're being just a little unfair to Doom 2, because as we've all said, if you wanted more Doom, here it is, but none of us did. Mega Man 2 I really like, because at the end of Mega Man, I wanted more Mega Man, and that's what they gave me.
Yeah, that is true.
I wouldn't have minded having more Doom. In fact, I did try and play the episode 4 of Doom 1, which is the really, really hard one.
Yeah.
It's damn near impossible. But this one, I got into it, and I really wanted to like the game, but it was just lacking something that the first Doom had in spades,
freaking
and I
awesome music.
Couldn't get into it. Well, that enemy design, you know, a variety in that.
Well, like I said, my biggest problem was there's no initial hook that the first game had. The first game dumps you into this really awesome-looking environment with this kick-ass metal track.
All these bodies around you, and it's like, well, you kind of create the story around that.
Whereas the second one just felt like it was like, hey, you like Doom, right? Well, here's Doom 2. Like, I don't
know. Have fun.
It's not a bad game. I cannot stress that enough. I do not dislike Doom 2. I was just done playing Doom, and Doom 2 does not bring anything new to the table.
Well, like I said, I wouldn't call it a bad game. It's just not what I would want out of a full sequel.
That said, did any of us have fun with it, really?
Yeah. Well, I had fun.
Okay.
I had fun for the first couple levels I played, but I'm like, this is really not what I'm in the mood for. I already played this game.
See, I guess I didn't, but I didn't get as far into Doom as either of you did. I got halfway through. I got halfway through the second episode and was like, I'm out. And it's fine. It's a decent game, but I didn't want any more of it. I didn't even want as much as was there.
Well, I almost didn't want as much as was in the original Doom. I just, like I said, finished out of a sense of obligation.
You had momentum. You were close enough when you were done with it that you were
end. You didn't have your machine constantly freezing up on you.
Yeah, that helps.
It's not bad. It's just not what I think any of us wanted expected.
What did they actually add to it?
A couple enemies. The double shotgun.
The shotgun that didn't really feel a whole lot different. It actually felt like a detriment to me because I couldn't fire it as quickly. But
that's because it fired both barrels at the same time.
Yeah.
It did do double the damage that the standard one does, and it does have a wider range of spread when it gets into range. But honestly, since it's burning ammo at twice the rate, and you're not just guaranteed the hits, you're probably just better off with the standard shotgun.
And they didn't add a whole lot of weapons, and they didn't, like, the palette they use, it was basically the exact same game, they just tweaked around. And we mentioned earlier Majora's Mask as opposed to Ocarina. They use basically all the same assets in Majora's Mask, but they completely changed the feel of the game.
Well, they really changed the mechanics there, too. They added a huge gimmick, which is you're replaying the same 3 days over and over, and characters have schedules that you can learn and manipulate.
And the dungeons, because there are fewer of them, are massive in comparison. It takes you most of 3 days to beat them if you've never done them before. But not 3 actual human days, but 3 in-game days. But this did not seem like a really great reusing of assets. It felt like more of the same, which, honestly, if you wanted more of Doom...
There you go.
That's good, but I did not want more of Doom. I wanted something more, and like I said, there was a long enough lag period between playing the first one and the second one for me that I just wasn't as into it as I was with the first one. Because the first one hooks you so strongly at the beginning. This game lacks the theming. It doesn't matter in all games. Some games are powerful enough to speak on their own accord, but the thematic feeling of descending into hell was a large part of the draw of Doom for me, and Doom 2 didn't have it.
I agree.
All right, well, we're a little short this episode, so let's read some reader mail. Oh, wait, we don't have any reader mail. So if you guys...
Please send us some reader mail.
If you guys don't want episodes to be short, you should send us some reader mail. We'll take a look at it, we'll read you, we'll tell you why you're stupid. Hi, Alex.
How do you read a podcast?
What? We said we would read some user mail.
No, he said reader mail. He's been saying reader mail.
Oh, yeah. It's metaphorical. It's like a magazine.
We can say that even though we found this game to be generally mediocre by comparison, it was the first one available in source?
Yeah, the original Doom was shareware. You could buy it and they would mail you with, you know, ye olde post service a copy. This was on shelves and you could buy it and your grandma could get it for you and complain about how violent it was.
And this, I think, was one of the first ones available in stores. I want to say Heretic was around the same time, but Heretic was basically Doom, but magical-themed. Also, you could turn into a chicken.
That sounds sweet.
It was one of the first computer games, really, I ever played. I probably shouldn't have at the age I was, but...
Eh.
Honestly, the graphics were so terrible, I couldn't really tell what was happening anyway, so... That's...
It's not bad.
Yeah, like I said, it's as good as Doom. Because it's the same game.
It's just more of Doom.
Only not as themed as well, or as enticing. It doesn't draw you in the same way.
Oh my god, it's a movie sequel.
The Dark Knight is the best movie, objectively. And it is a sequel.
If you're looking for a...
It defied the trope.
If you're looking for a sequel to Doom, this is more of an expansion pack. You want a sequel? Go play Doom 3.
Which I've heard Zach say is good tonight.
Doom 3 is more like its great-grandson, who's all sexy and shiny and dressed up like a harlot.
Well, now it's more like the great-grandson is now having Hello? Grandkids. Because he's, well, I mean, it's 2007, it's pretty old. Actually, now that I think about it, it's kind of like a remake of Doom.
Can you imagine
that? It's actually a sequel.
Can you imagine the Doom guy going, "Your name, carriage, back in my day, I had to guess what the monsters were because I couldn't see them against the terrible background
on it." No, back in, you pansy-ass kids, you can only carry two weapons at a time. I had 50 on my back, and I could still outrun all y'all.
I don't know why I kept them, though. I just kind of pulled them out of thin air.
Speaking of remakes and mods and spandex, 2 days ago, Comics Alliance posted someone did a full mod of Doom 2 where you play as Sailor Moon. They redid all the weapons to be Sailor Moon effects. They didn't do all the enemies, but...
I don't care. God. That would be amazing.
And the background music is the Sailor Moon theme.
Always?
Yeah. Oh, so that's God. One for the link dump.
Oh, man. So I never liked
Sailor
Moon.
So how we fix this game? Make it a Sailor Moon game?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fighting demons by moonlight.
Does she actually do the speech too? Like,
it's Japanese audio, so.
But does she give the speech in Japanese?
I don't think so. It's, I think she's just doing attack names.
Oh, so she's not like, "In the name of the moon, I'll punish you," except in Japanese, so it's like, "Usagi wa uga shiniga nunaju."
I think that was Ewok at the end there.
Or possibly. I was thinking the Sim language.
Or Greedian.
Okay, yeah, so my fake Japanese kind of went out the window there. I actually kind of know Japanese even, but...
Sure you do.
I said kind of. I can survive in Japan with a dictionary.
Well,
so could I. Hi, I'm an American.
Okay, speaking of fake Japanese, next week we're going to do something special. This might be the only time we do this. We're going to have a double assignment to close out sequel week.
Hey, we did a double assignment week before with Double Dragon and Double Dragon 2.
That wasn't unintentional, though.
Well, that's only because Double Dragon was so short, but...
Wow, I was unaware that a week
to close out sequel month. I fixed it. You're an asshole.
And now I'm going to look at you worse because it's just going to edit that.
Yep. Screw you, buddy. I can edit you out an infinite number of times. It can be Crisis on Infinite Editing Zach. A bit of bar trivia that's never going to help anyone, because everyone knows this. They made a sequel to Super Mario Bros. They called it Super Mario Bros. 2. Of course, Super Mario Bros. Is big here in America, so Nintendo of America started playing it to localize it. And they just didn't feel like it was a very good sequel. They didn't feel like they changed much. And the president of Nintendo thought it was super hard. So, he decided that this was not a very good sequel.
Was the president of Nintendo not a gamer?
No, he wasn't. He was a businessman.
Okay.
So, they decided to instead take another game that Miyamoto made, called Doki Doki Panic, that had sort of this Arabian feel, and reskin all the characters with Mario characters, and release that as Super Mario Bros. 2. Later, because people found this out and wanted to play the real one, they released Super Mario Bros. 2 as Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels. I believe it was first on the All-Star, or Super Mario All-Stars.
Which, and, by the way, if you can find that cartridge, is an excellent collection. That's one of the few I owned on the Super Nintendo.
So, next week we are going to play both Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels and Super Mario 2. They are both available on the Wii Virtual Console and the DS Virtual Console. Lost Levels is actually a buck cheaper on the 3DS, so if you're really stingy, grab it there. Mario 2 is also available on the Wii U Virtual Console and the Game Boy Advance. So, next time on Last Time, it's a me, Mario!
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2013.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want to contact one of us individually, I am Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com,
Tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, Jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page if you don't want to hit the blog at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. You probably click on it or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is @LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated.
Thought you were gonna leave.
Oh,
you're hosting. Remember, that's why you have the outline.
Yeah. How does that go?
However.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games. My name is Zach.
Insert random comment here.
Thanks, Jeremy. All right.